Packers and starts a little bit on Sanhedrin. Technically, today should have been the first half of Sanhedrin, so we'll get it started at least. Yeah, they really should. Okay. Basically, just to give a brief summary of what the Sefer Sanhedrin is going to be about, it's kind of the complement. We've had the three bubbles that are all about Dinim Mamonis. Sanhedrin is going to continue with it starts, so the first two prakim of it are going to be kind of an introduction sort of to the branches of government, you could say. It's Lahabdil, like the constitution. It describes the Bati Dinim, the king, the Kohen Gadol. After that, we start talking about the third parak talks about some more dinim mamonis, but looking at it from the point of view of the beis din, who can sit on a beis din, who are the valid eidim, how do they, what's the basic court procedure, etc. Beginning from the fourth parak, we're going to start talking about dinim nefashos, and that's going to take up basically the rest of the mesecta. Yes, we have lots of interesting agata scattered throughout the mesecta, including, yes, we have Perek Chelek, the last Perek, 20-odd solid block of agata. We have different pieces of it in other places. We also have there's a number of sugyas on various basic halachas that are going to be in this mesecta as well, that are sort of digressions from the topic of Sanhedrin. We're going to have, for example, the dinim of Kiddush HaChodesh. We're going to have the dinim of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah in the first parak. We're going to have the dinim of Kiddush Levana at the dinim of Kiddush Levana at the end of the fourth parak. We're going to have some of the dinim of burial after that. We have the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach and a lot of other the dinim of Yehoreg Bal Yavar, the dinim of Roides, and a lot of other topics. One of the things to mention real quick, the name Sanhedrin itself, where the term Sanhedrin for a beis din come from. So there's a couple of different approaches. Some of them are Farshim, that's the Bartimura, and some others say that it comes from the word Sone Hadraspanim, which means that the Dayanim have to hate favoring a person. And the Dayanim are not allowed to favor one person or another. Etc. So therefore they're called Sone Hadras, and from that comes the word Sanhedrin. Other people say, the Rebbe brought this a couple of times in Sifas, that it comes from a Greek word which means something like the assembly or the parliament or something like that. The Rebbe actually talked a couple of times, including there's a Yeshivas together with the chief rabbis of Israel, where they were talking about this about Sanhedrin. The Rebbe commented on the unusualness of the fact that we use a foreign word, a Greek word, to just why don't we use a Hebrew word like shoftim or what have you. And elsewhere that ever talks about maybe the idea that it's part of the idea of being mile of the world, that you're taking a word from a foreign language and using it for this purpose. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off, Dinim Mominus Bishloisha. Dinim Mominus has to be judged by a base din of three, as we will see in the Gemara. Gzelus v'chavolus v'shloisha. Cases of gzelus, of robbery. So the Rashi here, we're back to Rashi now after months of Rashbam. Gzelus includes things, for example, where a person has a pikadon and then denies that he actually had it, that he takes it for himself. That's a form of gzela. Gzela can also mean literally mean grabbing something from somebody else's hand. V'chavolus and cases. The first one is Zela, because Mishalach Bayad, have a gazlan. Actually, says once you shalayach yad at the kodin, once you misappropriate at the kodin, yeah, then it's considered Zela. And b'chavolos, in cases of injury, where one person injures another, are also b'shloisha. We'll see in the Gemara why the Gemara had to list them separately. If we say dinim amunas b'shloisha, these are all part of dinim amunas. We'll get into it, and we're also going to get into once we get in the Gemara, we're going to get into the question of which of these things need mumchim, which means smuchim ish mipi ish. We'll get into it, but there are choices that discusses on Daf Gimel. How are we able to judge such things nowadays where nobody has that kind of smicha? Continues the mission, and nezek v'chatzi nezek v'shlom kefa v'tashlom abal v'chamisha. Also, all those things have to be judged v'shloisha, and we'll see in the Gemara again that there's shloisha for all those have to be mumchim. That's smicha ish mipi ish. Ha'onus v'mafata v'amoti shemra, the cases of onus or mafata, where the onus or the mafata have to pay a fine, and you have to marry her, and actually in the case of mafata, it's one or the other, he pays the fine, or he marries her, in the case of onus, it's both.
by Motzi Shemra, or the case of Motzi Shemra that the Torah described in Parshas Kisetse, and we learned about in Ksobos, the details where the husband claimed in Beis Din that his wife was Mizana during the Erusin. All the
you can be a raider and kill someone for
a... Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. Yes.
And he has
to marry. And he has to marry her. So all those also b'shloisha divrei a mayor. A mayor says all those are also judged by three. No, moti shemra b'asher b'shloisha. Moti shemra, you need to judge with 23. With nefesh yesh b'dinin nefashis, because there can be dinin nefashis involved, because you have the whole scenario over there, as the Torah says, where if it turns out that his claim is true and Shitaka was mizana during the erusin, then she gets skilla. Skilla requires 23, as we're going to say later on in the Mishnah. By the way, there's a couple of interesting remozim on these things. Bala Turim points out at the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, you have the first pasuk of Parshas Shoftim starts out, Shoftim v'shoftim tzitmecha b'chosharecha, asher Hashem alakecha neitzim chosh'patecha, v'shoftu etza'am mishpat tzedek. You have three times in that pasuk the shoresh shofat, to judge. That's where that the remez for the idea that a minimum Beis Din is three. As far as 23 for Dinei Nefashos, it's brought from the Gaonim that there's 23 times the Eibishter's name is mentioned from the beginning of the Torah until Vayipach Ba'akov Nishmas Chayim, until where it says that the Eibishter gave Adam Rishon and Neshama. So therefore, it hints at the idea. You need to be in a situation where you need to take someone's Neshama, you need 23 for that purpose. We'll see in the Mishnah later on. We'll get to it tomorrow, that the actual source why you need 23, but this is a different
Torah.
The Torah doesn't, the Gaonim mentioned it. Continues the Mishnah. Makos b'shloisha, cases involving where a person is chayav malchus, will be chayav malchus if they convict him, are judged b'shloisha. Mishnah along with Esther b'shloisha, they said in the name of the mayor that instead you need 23 for that, for reasons that we'll discuss later on in the parak, because mali kapla palga, mali kapla kula, the famous expression that that malchus is like a half death, and therefore you need 23. That is what we're talking about. Well, we'll talk about in the Gemara about one judging in general, but yeah.
There's all these stories about so-and-so gave Dimachus.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily show that he was by himself. Just like, for example, the Gemara, for example, mentions in a different context in Rosh Hashanah, there's a case involving one of the Tanoim who gives Eidus on Eidus Achodesh, and what do you mean? It can't just be him, there need two. The answer is there were two, the other aide was nowhere near his caliber, and therefore the Braitha didn't bother mentioning him. Ibra Chodesh B'Shloisha, to decide whether the month, Ibra Chodesh, on the face of it, means whether the month needs 30 days or not, but they don't actually do that, it's with Kiddush HaChodesh, so we'll discuss in the Gemara, in the middle of the parak, what exactly we mean by Ibra Chodesh. Is done B'Shloisha, that has to be done by three. That's what we just said with Moti Shemra. That's why Rabbi Shemra, that's why the Chachamim said, yeah. No, because after Mephilim Shogim, after Mephilim Mizidin, etc. No, other than that. So Ibra Chodesh B'Shloisha, we'll see what Ibra Chodesh means later. Ibra Shana B'Shloisha, to decide whether the year needs to be an Ibra year, that also is done by three, Divir Meir. Rav Shimon Levi, B'Shloisha Machilin, you start with three, you start with a panel of three to decide whether it needs to be an Ibra year. Uvachamisha Noisin B'Noisin, and then they discuss it with five. Begonim B'Shiva, they make the conclusion with a panel of seven. V'Yemgomo begin Lomo Beres, but yeah, but if they ended off at the same three who first sat down to decide it, ended up making the calculation and decided, let's go ahead and declare it an Ibra year, then B'Yemgomo it's Lomo Beres. We'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, but I just want to mention briefly something that everyone said about this. You know, we have all the Mishnayos of the Perek are here together. This is in a printed Mishnayos, this is divided into five or six Mishnayos. No, Mishnayos in this one parak, but here it's printed all at the beginning. So the Pashtus is just how the printers decided to do it or whatever, but the Rebbe once commented on the idea that it also, the Pnimius Inyanim, it represents the idea that all the Batei Dinim from the beginning, from Moshe Rabbeinu's times, forever after, are all one long continuation. They're all one continuum, Mimos Moshe until now, and therefore it's printed all as one long Mishnah. The Mishnah Chassidim, by the way, has a vort. He says, if you look in a printed Mishnayos and count up the number of Mishnayos in the Masechta, there are 71, representing the 71 skenim, as we'll say later on in our Mishnah. In the whole Masechta Sanhedrin, yeah.
Smichat skenim, the skenim during smicha, which Rashi explains that it means we're talking about when you have to make a parhelam dover shal tzibur, when the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, and most of the people followed them. We'll learn about it next. We'll learn about it in a few months' time as the Shem and the Sefer Hovius. Then they have to bring a korban on behalf of the whole Sefer, and the members of the Beis Din have to lean their hands on it. So that smichas kenim has to be done. Three of the kenim have to lean their hands on it. The Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos has a different understanding, which actually we'll deal with later on. In the Perek, smichas kenim means giving smicha to a person to make him that he's a mumcha, that he's a das. Anyway, the common meaning of smicha is leaning hands. So in the case of the animal, of the korban, you actually lean your hands on it. In the case of smicha skenim, in the case of giving somebody smicha, the original thing was Moshe put his hands on Yeshua by Yismach of Yadavala by Tzavedu. In later generations, you don't need an actual leaning of hands. You can just give it verbally, but nevertheless the same term.
What's the relevance to
it? Because it's one of the things, Ba'arifas Egla, and the breaking of the neck of the Egla Arufa, when an Egla Arufa has to be brought. Both those things are B'shloisha, Divrei Reb Shimon. Both those things, Reb Shimon says, can be done by three people. You have three of the members of the Sanhedrin lean their hands on the head of the animal. You need three chachamim together to give somebody smicha, and you need three together for arifas ha'egla, which actually arifas ha'egla over here, Tosfos points out, doesn't actually mean not over here, later on in the perek, Tosfos points out that arifas ha'egla in our Mishnah doesn't mean the actual breaking of the calf's neck. At that point, you don't have members of the Sanhedrin there at all. At that point, you have members of the local base in there. We're talking about the initial part of it, the measuring to find which is the nearest city, which is the one that's going to have to bring the Egla Arufa. That has to be accomplished by members of the base in Agadol, Sanhedrin and Yerushalayim.
That's connected
because we're saying that they're saying Divrei Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon says you need three members of the base for that. Because we're going through all the different things. We're going through how many people do you need for each of these various things. You need three for a bunch of things that I mentioned so far. This is another one that's three, says Reb Shimon, but Reb Yehuda and Reb Chamisha. Reb Yehuda says both of those things, you need five for that. You need five members of Sanhedrin for each of those things. HaChalitza v'amiunin, also chalitza and miun, when a girl is married below bas mitzvah age by her mother or her brothers, and therefore the whole thing only exists midrabanan, therefore she has the ability to say at any time, I want out. Those are also b'shloisha, those also you need a base din of three. Rashi points out, even though miunin is dirabanan, but when the rabbanan make a takana, they usually make it similar to something d'oraisa. So now it's interesting. There's a question. That's why we're saying three. But the interesting question is, we actually learned in Yevamos that actually chalitza you're supposed to have five, but that's more to be mafaris thing. You only need three actual dayon over there. But the interesting question is, what is Rashi trying to say that we're comparing miun to? One way of looking at it is that we're comparing miun to gittin, in which case you have to ask, and the Ozarua talks about, the Note of Yehuda has a long discussion about it. Our Mishnah doesn't mention how many you need for a get. But he says that the Note of Yehuda brings on the basis of the Ozarua and based on the understanding of Rashi, if we're comparing Miun to Gittin, implies Gittin has to be done in front of a basin of three. We learned at the end of Bava Basra just a couple of days ago that not necessarily is everybody Megarish in front of Beis Din. He says, okay, it means not everybody is Megarish in front of a Beis Din that knows all of the detailed Dinim Mominus in that case, that you have to be Madur Hano or whatever, but it still has to be done in front of a Beis Din of three. A number of other Achronim argue with the Note of Yehuda on that. They say, no, it doesn't actually require a Beis Din. What is Rashi comparing Miun to? He's comparing it to Chalitza. Chalitza is what you need d'oraisa. You need three dayanim. So also miun, but not to say that a get needs need dayanim at all. Practically speaking, the get is usually done in the presence of dayanim because there's a lot of complicated halachas in it, but in principle, it's not done in front of dayanim. Most of the acharonim, aside from the Noda Behuda, would say that it's okay b'diyanim. Anyway.
What is your Rabbi Huda think?
So Rabbi Huda says b'chamisha because for mechaskein and barikas ha'egla. He doesn't say chalitza and miyun. We said over there, we learned in the Vayin Yivamas, you had to attack a hat. I think Rabbi Yehuda also said over there, you need five for chalitza, but that was only in order to be mefaris. You only need three dayan.
He thinks that
Shkenim and Arifas
Egla
need five.
He's more chashid than Zeyla.
No, the each of the, he's going to, we're going to learn later on in the parak why each of them. He's going to, we're going to learn from Sukkim why each one of them. Why each one of them we have, welcome back. Why each of them we have the number of people that it says. Next. Neteravai, or my sheni shane drum of Yiduin, when it comes to redeeming Neteravai, if you want to exchange it for money, which then you're going to bring to your Shalayim, or my sheni shane drum of Yiduin, where you don't know the actual value of it, so you need people to evaluate it so that you're being paid for a fair amount, is also the shlosha. That has to be done also by a panel of three dayan.
According to?
That's according to everybody. Hekdeshus v'shloisha. Similarly, when you have a hekdesh, if you want to, you donated something to hekdesh and you want to redeem it from hekdesh, you also need three people to evaluate it. Ha'erchin ha'metalpilim v'shloisha. And similarly, when it comes to erchin, which are movable, which we'll talk about later on in the parak, what that means exactly, because on the face of it, all erchin are movable. The definition of erech is that you say erech ploini olai or erchi olai or whatever you're saying, there's the erech of a certain person. That's always metalpilim. So we'll see later on in the parak what that means. Anyway, v'shloisha. Rabbi Yehuda says, when you have these three, when it comes to Erchin, you need one of those three to be a Koyer, for reasons that we'll talk about later on in the parak. Basically, the reason is because the Pasuk mentioned the Koyer over there, Te'er Tachar Koyer. Bakakoyes, what about when it comes to Kaukoyes, when it comes to you donated Kauka to Hektish, and now you want to redeem it, or somebody else wants to redeem it, whatever. There you need Tisha Mekoyen. There you need nine people, nine Yisraelim, plus one Koyen, in order to evaluate it. But Adam Kayot to the hand, and the same thing goes as far as a person. Why so many? We'll learn later on the parak, because the Pasuk mentioned 10 times over there the word Koyen. We'll see later over there why in that case you only need one Koyen. We'll get there later. Again, I mentioned yesterday, you weren't here, but we have all of the Mishnayos of the entire first Perek are all jammed together over here at the beginning of the Perek instead of being scattered through the Perek as they usually are. So therefore, we're going to have, after we learn this Mishnah, we're going to have an entire 16, 17 blocks analyzing each part of it. But Adam Kayotzebehen, and the same thing goes as far as a person, which on the face of it means if a person is hektish. We'll see later on, again, when we get to this part of the Mishnah, later on in the parak, how is a person hektish. We'll get to that. Now we're done with all the things that need three, or some of them, according to some mandamas, need five. Now onward to things that need more dayan. Dini nefoshes ve'estim ha'shloisha. Dini nefoshes, you need 23 dayan, for reasons that we'll see later on in the Mishnah. A reveya b'hanirba b'asur m'shloisha, also a case of a reveya where somebody has relations with an animal, or nirba, or a woman who passively had relations with an animal, also those b'asur m'shloisha, those also have to be judged by 23. In other words, not only the person, but also the animal has to be judged, as the Pasuk says, v'hehema ta'aregu, also has to be done by a beis din of 23. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, v'haragta se'isha v'et ha-behema, as the Pasuk says, you should kill the woman who was the nirbas and the behema. V'omer v'et ha-behema ta'arugu, and later on the Pasuk says, and the animal you should kill. So we have, the Pasuk is making a hekesh, in other words, the Rashi explains, the Pasuk by saying, v'haragta se'isha v'et ha-behema, it's making a hekesh between the isha and the behema. So just like the isha needs 23, so does the behema. Later on, when it says v'et ha-behema ta'arugu, which is talking about where the animal is the nearby, where the animal is the passive partner, also needs 23. Shur on Misko Ba'esu Mishlosha, another case of an animal being judged in Beis and executed in Beis Din, is a shur that kills a person, where we learned back in Bava Kama that it has to be given skila, is also Ba'esu Mishlosha. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Asher Yisoko Hagambol of Yumas, as the Pasuk says, the ox should be
stoned and also its owner should be killed. Now, it doesn't literally mean that the owner is killed. The owner is Chayav Kofer, as we learned back there. It means he's Chayav Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim. But the way the Pasuk phrases it, which makes it sound as though you put the owner to death, it comes to teach us, the same rules that apply to killing the owner, where you need 23, the same rules apply to his shur, where it also needs 23. Yeah, for any missus based in a person, you need 23. So therefore, by the same token, when it's making a hekish between the shur and the ba'al of, it means the shur also needs 23. Other cases of animals that have to be killed by based in, a wolf. So here we're talking about a shur, which a shur isn't necessarily mu'at to begin with. A shur is tam usually until it kills a certain number of times, as we learned in Baba Kama. On the other hand, now we're going to list creatures, as we learned back in Baba Kama, that are mu'at mitchilasam. They're automatically assumed to be dangerous. So if they kill, if they kill somebody, then also they get tchila. So, the first time, but the difference is that the difference is, for one thing, that in the case of shur, you have the first few times you don't pay koifer, with these you would. But yeah, so as Ave, a wolf, a hari, or a lion, a dove, a bear, a nomer, or a leopard, a bardless, there's a couple of different possibilities what bardless is. Rashi just says over here, chaya, he just says it's chaya without specifying. There's various places Rashi gives different definitions in different places, and then there's different explanations. It's also possible that the word barbless in various places in Shas actually means different creatures. In some places, it seems to mean something, some kind of weasel or some creature more like a skunk. In other places, maybe a panther or a cheetah or whatever. There'll be a few different possibilities. Anyway, all of those, v'hanochash or snake, misotin v'esr v'shloisha, all of those also, if they kill a person and therefore they have to be brought to Beis Din and judged and executed, needs a Beis Din of 23. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer, hold on. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer, who says it? Rambam says it differently. Okay. One second. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer, hold on. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer, kolakodim mohogamza. Hello. Rabbi Eliezer says, never mind a Beis Din of 23. Whoever catches one of these creatures first and kills it, then good. He has his chut. Rabbi Akiva Oymer Misafim Be'esim Mishloisha. Rabbi Akiva says you need 23, and we'll see later on in the parak what Rabbi Akiva exactly is adding to what the Tanakhama said, since the Tanakhama said 23, and that comes in where what you brought from the Rambam, that in fact what it is Rabbi Akiva is saying that I agree on the other five, you need a Beis Din of 23, but not on the Nachash. That's where I'm differing with the Tanakhama, and the Halacha is like this, that a Nachash is Kol HaKodim Wa'ogam Zacha, the other one factor you need, the other ones you need a Beis Din of 23. Okay. Onward. So those are all the things that need a Beis Din of 23. Now on to a Beis Din of 71. Ain donin lois a shevet. You cannot judge a shevet. Rashi explains over here that it means if most of a shevet worships the Hadazara and therefore they need to be punished by Beis Din, then that can't be done by individual Bata Dinim. It needs to be done by the Sanhedrin Gdola. Marsha, Maram, Shif deal with the fact that later on in the parak we're going to explain it somewhat differently. So why is it actually explaining it this way over here? Okay, well, when we get later on in the parak, we'll see exactly what it means to judge the shape. Veloyas Navi Asheter or Navi Sheter also needs to be judged by Beis Din and given Chenek if he's convicted. That also requires the Beis Din of 71. Navi Asheter, sure. Yeah, as a matter of fact, later on in the Masechta, we're going to be given, later on in the next last parak, we're going to have some examples of Nevi Asheker. Okay. Beloyas Kohen Gadol, and also not a Kohen Gadol, all of those LRP based in Shoshivim Bathod, all of those can only be judged by the Beis Din of 71. It's interesting, by the way, later on in the parak, when we learn the basis for that, we're going to learn a basis for that from a Pasuk, the same din in principle applies to a king as well. We're going to learn Kol HaDavar HaGadol Yaviyu Elecha, means the Dvar of Shogadol. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention a king over here? There's a sefer on the Masechta Sanhedrin. There's a sefer of Chidushim and explanations on Sanhedrin called Binyan Shloimer. The author was the author of it. Rav Nosson Maz, his name was the Av Beis Din in the Rosh Hashiva of Frankfurt in his time and in the time of Baal HaFla 200 odd years ago, and also a relative of mine, Rav Nosson Maz. So he explains
He explains later on in the second paragraph, we're going to talk about the idea that Malchei Yisrael can't be judged by Beis Din because they're, oh, this is also in Rambam, if it wasn't in paragraph of yet, it's going to be soon, because they're chutzpan yaks and they don't listen to, they're not going to listen to a Beis Din. In the time when the Mishnah was written, there were no more kings from Malchei Beis David. There's only, if there's going to be a king, he's going to be from Malchei Yisrael. Therefore, the Mishnah left it out. But the same din taka would apply to a Melech Yehuda, that if he's going to be judged, there has to be in a Beis Din of 71. Also, you can't bring out the army to go to war for a Melchemes Rishus, for an optional war, which means basically Rashi says any war except for the wars of Yeshua to conquer Eretz Yisrael is considered a Melchemes Rishus. To save lives, that's we're not talking about that. We're talking about obviously when the goyim are attacking and you're fighting back in self-defense. We're not talking about that.
That would be considered
milchamas mitzvah. Yeah, milchamas rishus is where it's optional. You could go or you could not go, and that you need el after base in shoshim ve'echad. You need the base in of 71 to authorize it.
So the David always.
Yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Barachas what the whole procedure over there. First, they would ask Achitofel for his advice, then they would ask the Urim Batumim, then they'd ask the Sanhedrin, or maybe it was in a different order, I don't remember exactly. Yeah, they had to have all their ducks in a row in order to do it. The Einmay Sifrin ala Irval Azorot, you can't add to the area of the city of Yerushalayim to make an extra area where you're going to be able to eat Kodshim Kalim, or that has the rest of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, or the Azorot, to make the Azorot larger. That also allows the Beis Din of Shem Ve'echad. You also need the consent of the Beis Din of 71 to do that. We'll learn in Masechta Shavuos, the next Masechta after this one, we'll learn there's a whole detailed procedure, a whole ceremony that goes into doing that. These days, during the 3 weeks, we're learning Kofa Beis HaBechira that Amman talks about a Pharaoh, based on that Gemara and Shavuos.
Isn't the name
that for this
part has to be some kind of...
Oh, okay.
I heard that's the most
difficult
building permit to get.
All right. Also, in Oisin Sanhedroyas with Shvatim, you also cannot appoint Sanhedrins for the Shvatim, where each city is supposed to have a Sanhedrin of 23. And some of the Rishonim also, I think that Ramban, among others, say that also each Shevet would have its supreme based in. We'll have to, like nowadays, the various states, which have their state supreme court, and then you have the national supreme court. So those can only be established at Alpi based in Oshim V'echad. Again, you need the national Sanhedrin to authorize them. You also can't declare an Irani Dachas. You need the Beis Din of 71 to declare it an Irani Dachas. And by the way, the Mishnah gives us some basic dinim about it. Most of the dinim of Irani Dachas we're going to learn at the very end of the Masechta. But here we have one particular din about it. Reb Reuven Margolius writes in his Sefer of Chedushim on Sanhedrin that the idea is because we're talking about what does the jurisdiction extend to. The jurisdiction of the Beis Din of 71, as far as an Irani Dachas, it has its limits. Namely, Ein Oisin Irani Dachas Tzfar, you cannot make an Irani Dachas on the border of Eretz Yisrael, for reasons that we will learn in the Gemara towards the end of our Perek. Velosh Sholosh, and you also, one Beis Din can't declare three Irani Dachas. Aval Oisin Achas Eshtayim, but they can declare one or two. Continues the mission. The Sanhedrin Gdola consisted of 71 members. A small Sanhedrin consisted of 23. How do we know a large Sanhedrin, the national Sanhedrin, consists of 71? Because the pasuk says, the Eved just says to Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 people, the skenim of the Jewish people, and then you have Moshe above them, so that's 71. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not 71, it's 70. He learns, towards the end of the parak, he learns that it doesn't mean, Moshe obviously is above them, but he learns basically that Moshe is not really part of that Sanhedrin, so to speak. You have the Shivim Ish, and they're compared to Moshe in a different way, but not that he's actually the Av-Basin above them. How do we know a Sanhedrin Tana consists of 23? Like this. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'shoftua Eda V'itzulu Eda. The Pasuk describes, Parshas Maaseh, they describe how you judge a Ritzeach, the Mezid, the Shkoga, yeah, this is Parsha. So the Pasuk describes that you need the Shoftua Eda, the Eda should judge him, the V'itzulu Eda, and the Eda, if he's a Ritzeach, the Shogig, then the Eda should save him and send him off to the Umitwa, so he's not killed by the Goyotah. meaning Ada Sheta, just Ada Marcellus, means there has to be the possibility that there can be an Ada, which we'll see in a second, an Ada means 10, that are judging him, that want to convict him, and an Ada that are Marcellus, that are going to exonerate him. So therefore, so far you're up to 20. Harekan Esri. How do we know an Ada means 10? Shenema, because the Pasuk says that Miragam Admosa La Ada Harah Azoi. The Ada says to Moshe, how long am I going to have to deal with this evil Ada? Yotsu Yoshua Vakolev, only the evil one. 10 out of the 12 Miragam went down. So therefore we see that an Ada is 10. So far you're up to 20. Uminayin Lahavi Ojshlosha, then where do you get another 3? That goes like this. Mimashma Shenema Loisia Achir Rabin Lagoi. Now, given that Pasuk tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, you should not follow the majority to do evil, to do bad. Shemayani she'eyei ma'im l'tova. Well, then that automatically implies you should follow the majority to do good. Imkein lomanema achiram lachis. And why does the Pasuk finish off and say you should follow the majority, which makes it sound like you should go according to the majority regardless, whether it's for good or for bad? It means It means yes, you can follow the majority to do bad, to convict the guy also, but it's a different kind of majority than you need for good. To incline to the good, to exonerate the person, you only need a majority of one. But to convict him, to do bad to him, you need a majority of 2. So therefore you're up to 22 so far. Because in other words, you can't have You wouldn't be able to convict him. In other words, if you only had 20, then you wouldn't have the possibility of Ada Shesetes to Ada Marcellus, because you were going to have a majority of 2. You'd have to have 11 against 9, and that means you don't have even the possibility of an Ada Marcellus. So therefore, that brings us up to 22 now, so that you're able to have 12 against 10. So you still have your Ada Marcellus, so you still have your 10 exonerating him, but then they're overridden by 12 who hold that they should convict him. So that's 22. The Ain based in shuffle, but one more thing is you can't have a based in of an even number, because then they could deadlock. Then you could end up with a tie, 11 to 11. Therefore, you add one more, Harekan Esther Mishloisha, so you wind up with 23. Which, at the very end of the parak, we're going to ask, in that case, then you never have a majority of 2 l'chora. You'd have a majority of 1, or you have a majority of 3. How are you going to ever have a situation where you're going to have a majority of 2? We'll deal with that at the end of the parak.
But you also never have a deadlock.
Right. That's the point.
Reason.
Okay. Last thing. The kama yehebra irutei ruya l'sanhedrin. What size, how many people do there need to be in a city in order that it should be roy to have a sanhedrin of 23? Mayor of Estrim, you have to have 120 people in the city. We'll see at the end of the parak, the Gemara is going to give us a breakdown why you need 120 people. What roles are each of them serving in the city?
Right?
Some of them are filling more than one role, but we'll see over there. You have 120 is the minimum number of people you have to have all the basic establishments of things that you need in a city. Rav Nechemiah says the minimum number of people in a city to have a Sanhedrin Kana is 230. Because Sore Asore, so you have each of the Dayonim needs to be a star over 10, including himself. Less than 10, there's no such thing as Srora, that a person should have Srora over less than 10 people. So 23 Dayonim calls for 230 citizens. Now, so the first line we said in the Mishnah is, we said that dinim mominus v'shloisha, gzelus v'chavolus v'shloisha. So we said dinim mominus, you need 3, and gzelus v'chavolus, cases of robbery and cases of injury, you need 3. Also gzelus v'chavolus v'ab dinim mominus ninu. Aren't gzelus v'chavolus an example of dinim mominus? Why list them out separately? Rabbi Bohu says, right, the Mishnah is explaining, the Mishnah is giving us like a headline and then the details underneath it. What are they? Mahin, dinim mominus, what are the dinim mominus that we're talking about that you need a base din of 3 is gzeilus v'chavolus. For those you need 3.
Not all of them.
But the implication is that you do not, that the implication is that when it comes to Hodois and Alvois are different. Now, what do we mean different? We're going to talk about later on in the Omer what we mean they're different. Hodois is where one person is moide, that I owe the other person money in the presence of Beis Din. Halvois is that you have Edim of the Halva, and then the person is denying it. So those, the Mishnah is implying, you don't, those the Mishnah is implying are different than Gzeilus v'Chavolus. They're a separate category. You need 3 for them, but they're a different category as we shall see. And the Gemara says it's true.
What do they include by Hadaris?
The Hadaris means any case where a person is moider in front of Beis Din. We'll have examples of it later on. In the third paragraph, we'll give examples of it where a person, for example, declares in front of two Edim. We learned at the very end of our Basra, too. We talked about it, that a person brings together Edim and says, I want you, Asim Edai, I want you to be my Edim, and I'm moider that I'm chayef to plenty X amount. Or just in front of Beis Din, he's moider, whatever. Yeah. Okay. And Gemara says it's tzricha. And according to that explanation, we need both of them to be said in the Mishnah. We need the Mishnah to tell us that you need three, that Hadoris and Alboris are a category of their own, and you need three, and you need the Mishnah to be telling us separately Gzelus and Chabot. You can't learn one from the other. To eat kind of Dinim Mominus, because if the Mishnah had only told us that you need three for Dinim Mominus, have Aminad Apila Hadoris and Alboris, then you would think Dinim Mominus is an all-encompassing thing. It would include Hadoris and Alboris as well. Rabbi Bo is not saying that Dinim Mominus means Hadoris Valvois. Okay, if you think Hadoris Valvois are not mentioned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is saying what are the Dinim Mominus that we're talking about that you need three is Gzelus V'Chabolus, not Hadoris Valvois. So if the Mishnah had only told us the word Dinim Mominus, you would think that includes Hadoris Valvois as well. Tanak Gzelus V'Chabolus, so instead the Mishnah specifies and says that I want you to know that Dinim Mominus here means only Gzelus V'Chabolus, not Hadoris Valvois. The Eitan of Zelus V'Chabolus for like a Tani Dini Mominus, but if the other way around, if the Mishnah had not started with the word Dini Mominus V'Shloisha, if it had only started with the word Zelus V'Chabolus V'Shloisha, Havaminu Huadin Dafi V'Hodois V'Avois, then we would think, fine, but maybe the Mishnah means to include Hodois V'Avois as well. Behind the Katonic Zelus V'Chabolus, and you would argue in that case, why is the Mishnah only mentioning Gezel and injury? Mishum Di'ikyu Gimel D'Chibi B'Zelus V'Chabolus. Because where is the basic place where the Torah talks about the concept of a Beis Din of three is when it comes to Gzelus and when it comes to Chabolus. Like this. How so? Because Gzelus is Nikra Balabai Zelagil Kim. Gzelus is because the Pasuk describes in connection with the Shomrim, you have the case over there where a person is a Shomer Chinam, and later on he claims that the thing was stolen or whatever, and the owner of the thing suspects that he took it for himself. So the positive is Nikra Balabais El Elikim. They come to Elikim, which we'll see soon in the Gemara means Dayanim, and they judge the case. And we'll see soon. We'll see soon how we learn from that positive that you need three. Technically you could say it with a hey, but practically speaking, people, I think that everyone's talked about this, that practically speaking, if you do that, then people are liable to make the mistake of doing the same thing when it comes to the Eivishter's name. So you're better off. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So over there we see three, as we'll explain soon how we get from the word Elikim that it means three. Actually, it actually explains it right here. The reason is because in the Pasuk over there, it says three times the word Elikim. Ad Elikim Yoved Vashneim, and then Asher Yashir and Elikim later on in that passage, and a few psukim later it also says that they also said, look, a few psukim later it also mentions that they come El Elikim. So it says it three times. So twice in one passage and one a few psukim later. So therefore we see three. So by Gzelus it says that. And Chavolos, and you would say, how do you know by Chavolos? Because you could figure logically, Mali Chavol Begufa, Mali Chavol Begumayne. If you're saying you need three when one person is damaging somebody else's mama, namely in this case of the Shomer who's claiming that it was stolen when really he's taking it for himself, logically you would argue you need three also when it comes to injuring his actual body. So therefore, again, if the Pasuk had not said the word Dinim Mominus B'Shloisha and then Gzelus V'Chavolus B'Shloisha, where we're saying that Gzelus V'Chavolus is meant to explain Mominus, in other words, we're telling us specifically, don't think that Hadoris and Alboris are included, you would have thought Hadoris and Alboris are included, not because they're the same, but because the Pasuk mentions it, like Gzelus V'Chavolus, therefore the Mishnah mentions that, but the Mishnah never meant, you could think, the Mishnah never meant to say that Hadoris and Alboris shouldn't also need to be. But no, okay, by saying Dinim Mominus B'Shloisha, Gzelus V'Chavolus B'Shloisha, the Mishnah is clearly telling us, says Rabbi Bo, that Dinim Mominus means only Gzelus V'Chavolus for this purpose. It does not mean Hadoris Alboris. So therefore, Tana Mahim Dinim Mominus Gzelus V'Chavolus. Therefore, the Mishnah had to specify and say, what is Dinim Mominus, what is the definition of Dinim Mominus for this purpose? Gzelus V'Chavolus. Abel Hadoris V'Alboris Loi, but in other words, the point is not Hadoris V'Alboris. Question is, well, my, in what sense are we saying that Hadoris Valvois are not included? In what sense are we saying they're not included in Dinim Mominus? Are you going to say that it means that you don't need a base din of three to judge those? Maybe you can have a base din of one or two. Rav Ahu says that if two people judge dini mamonis, everybody agrees that it's not a valid din Torah. Now, it's actually not, Tosus points out, it's not really divrei hakol. We're going to actually see as we go through our sugya, and Tosus also refers to a parallel sugya in Bava Kama, that implies that maybe you could, that we're going to see soon. We're going to have Shmuel saying, for example, that two people are allowed to judge, or are able to judge a din Torah that is called based in chot. But Rabbi Bohu would be saying that no, I don't accept that concept. It needs to be three or nothing. It can't be less than three. So obviously, even Hadaris Vahavois require three, according to Rabbi Bohu, at least. It's interesting, by the way, to digress on this a second. The Rambam has an interesting shita on it. He says that you're supposed to have three. You could have a yachid mumche judge, as we're going to see in the course of the Gemara, but two are possible either way. All the Mefarshim and the Rambam have a problem with it. If one is allowed, why shouldn't two be? If one, a yachid mumche, is allowed, why shouldn't two be allowed? One of the answers is because you're right. Two would be allowed if you know they're both mumchim. When the Rambam says that two are possible, he means if we don't know that they're mumchim. Later on, we're going to see that even if three, in some cases, are able to judge if they're not mumchim, but not less than that. In other words, when we say later, when Shmuel, we're going to discuss soon, when Shmuel says that two are allowed to judge, but it's called a Beis Din Chatzuf, not everybody agrees with Shmuel, and the Rishonim themselves disagree whether the halacha is like it or not.
They're brazen
in that they're not using yet. So the Rambam would hold the halacha is not like Shmuel in that. You must have a base din of three. However, and therefore any less than three is no good, not just as a base din chotzer, but as possible. However, yachid mumche is a whole different scenario. That you can have. And obviously, if you have two yachidim mumchim, then sure, they could sit together also. Two is not any worse than one in that sense.
It might be
a base din chotzer, but it wouldn't be possible, at least. When he says possible, one of the explanations of the Rambam is he means if they're not mumchim.
Okay.
If people accept them, yeah. If the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch is yeah that you need three or yachid mumcha, unless the Baal HaDinim are willing to accept less than that. If the Baal HaDinim are willing, we'll learn later on in the third parak, you can even say, for example, the two Baal HaDin can say we're willing to accept Shlosha Roye Bakr, we're willing to accept three cowboys as the Dayanim. So yeah.
I want to say another point.
Yachid
mumcha didn't be, but he can force it upon them. Doesn't have the kayak of a base.
That depends, actually. We'll see later on in the parish. We'll see.
I should know.
Yeah.
In the name of the, that aspect that they don't have the kayak of a base. If one of them is a mumche, they're not less, obviously.
Right. As far as the yachid
mumche, then they're not even a deal.
As far as the yachid mumche, though, we're going to see a little later in the parak, we're going to see that it actually depends whether he has reshus from the Nazi or whoever to judge. If he does, then you have to accept it. Okay. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So in what sense is Rabbi Bohu saying again that Hadoris Valvois are different than Zedis Valvois? Ela Deloibra in Mumche. The answer is, so it must be, he's saying that for Hadoris Valvois, you don't require Mumche. They don't have Smicha Ishmi Pich. So the question is why? My Kasabar. What is Rabbi Bohu hold? Now, this concept of Hadoris, that the cases of Moedim Mitzvah where you have to swear, the cases where all these various cases where a person has to swear in Beis Din, we learn them from a pasuk in the parasha of Shomrim over there in Parashas Mishpatim. But you have the Gemara discussed in Bava Kama the question of when it says in the middle over there I'll call Bar Pesha, I'll Shura Hamar, etc. Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh. Is that Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh, which is talking about Moedim Mitzvah, is there Iruv Parashias? Is there a mixture of the Parashias where really that doesn't apply to the Shomer so much, or it applies also to the Shomer, but it applies primarily earlier in the parasha where it talks about in Kesef Halva, about lending money and then the guy is Moedim Mitzvah? Or is it in its proper place? So the Naftamina, the Gemara mentions over there for one thing, is when it comes to a Shomer, is he only swearing in Beis Din if he's denying part of the claim, as opposed to if he denies all of it. So now, if we're saying that we're learning the concept of Hodos Balvois, we learn from that pasuk, but it's in that same section of the Shomer where it mentions Ad Har Lekim, in the same pasuk, in fact, as Ad Har Lekim. And Lekim means Mumchit. So, my kasavar. So what does Rav Bahu hold when he says that for dois valvois you need to be, but they don't have to be mumchim? E kasavar iruf parshias kasuk. And if he holds as a mixture of parshias that the words ki asher yoma ki hu zeh are referring primarily to the case of lending money in case of talveh fami a couple dozen circuit earlier. Later on in the parasha. Well, since Asher Yoma Kihuzeh, which is Moedu Mikta, is in the same pasuk as Adra Lekim Yavid Varshneim, you should need Alekim, you should need Mumchen. The Ikasava ain't Eruv Parshias Kosukan, and if he holds not an Eruv Parshias, that Asher Yoma Kihuzeh is in its proper place, it is talking about the actual Shomachinam, which means, therefore, there isn't really a mucker in the Torah, according to that, for the concept of Hodos Vahavois at all. Shloi Shalomali, then why should you need three? The whole thing we're saying you need three is because it says Alekim three times. The answer is Lo'olam Kasava Iru Parshias Kasukan. No, actually, Rav Abohu does hold that there is an Iru Parshias, that Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh is referring to Halvois. Therefore, we have a marker in the Torah for Hodos Halvois, requiring a basin. And the truth is, yeah, it's true. You should really need Mumchim, because after all, it says in the same pasuk as Alekim, so you should require Alekim, you should require Dayanim Mismicha. But the reason why we don't require Dayanim Mumchim for the service is based on what Rav Chanina said. Rav Chanina said, as a different thing, that Min HaTorah, both Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashos should need Drisha V'Hakira. You should need to interrogate them, to cross-examine them about the exact date and time of the loan or whatever it is that they're coming to Beis Din on. Shenema, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, we'll learn about the details of those Drishas and those Hakiras. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yelachem. As the Pasuk says, there should be one judgment for you. And that's actually a Pasuk right after it talks about Dinim Mominus. So really, min haTorah, you should require drisha v'chakira with dinim mominus as well. So why is it that we say that dinim mominus, you don't need this detailed drisha v'chakira, even if the edim don't know the exact date when the halva took place or whatever, their edus is still valid? Because you don't want to lock the door in front of loivin. If you're going to require that, there's going to be a good likelihood that the Edom are going to forget, or they're going to contradict each other, or whatever, and then the case is going to be thrown out of Beis Din, and the Malva is not going to be able to collect, and then nobody's going to want to lend money anymore.
But if it's not that you're giving, that then you have
to. Then, of course, you have to, yeah. Yeah. Then that does.
Even if it's something for like a bad oath or something.
I don't know.
Even if it starts with Malva?
Yeah, no. I mean, once it comes to Malva, then yeah. Anything stronger than Dinim Mominus. Well, anything stronger, really, we're saying anything stronger than Hodos V'Halvois, you're going to need Smuchin.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so by the same logic, we're going to be Makel and not require Mumchin for the same reason. Otherwise, to find a base in a Mumchin is going to be difficult. Now, Tosfos gets into the question, which we started discussing briefly yesterday. If that's the case, if based on our Gemara, the only thing that can be judged by non-Mumchim is Hodos V'Halvois, what about? I mean, so we're saying in the Mishnah, and Rav Abohu is explaining that Gzelus v'chavolis requires smithim. You find in many places in Shas, as we know, it's a commonplace thing in Shas that the Chachamim in Bavel did not have smicha, because smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael, and yet we find them judging cases of Gzelus, and nowadays also the Dayanim judge cases of Gzelus, and we haven't had smicha ishmipiyish for a long time. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that maybe in those cases in the Gemara, maybe, for example, the Nizik had been Tosfos. So fine, you know, tofas emetzin miyada in all these cases, even though you can't, a beis din not of smuchim, for example, can't collect dinik knotas, but nevertheless, if the nizik is tofas, then you can't take it away from him. So he was tofas, he grabbed it, he grabbed it away. It's in his possession. So therefore, so all those cases, Tosfos says, could be talking about cases like that. So now that the nizik has it in his possession, we have to determine, is it legitimate, does he have a legitimate claim to it, or not? But not necessarily that if he didn't have it in his possession, that a beis din in Bavel or any other beis din that's not smuchim should be able to. That's one answer in Tosfos. The other, another answer Tosfos gives is when we say gzeilus v'chavolus over here, it means both. It means, for example, that one person, that you have two people fighting, and one of them overpowers the other and grabs something away from them. That's a very rare kind of thing, Tosfos says. A more common kind of thing, just plain old gzeilus or plain old chavolus, you can have a concept, the Gemara mentions in Bava Kama, there's a concept that shlichus sayu avdina, that we, the bati dinim outside Eretz Yisrael, who don't have smicha, are doing what we do, b'shlichus of the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. They empowered us to judge certain cases so that it's not a free-for-all. But not cases like we have zelus and chavolus together, which is such a rare thing, that not necessarily. The Nemuka Yosef says somewhat differently. He says zelus of the type where one, even without chavolus, zelus of the type where one person grabs something away from somebody else in broad daylight is uncommon enough that a beis din that's not smuchim can't judge them. But ordinary other cases of gzeilus, such as, for example, Rashi gave the example in the Mishnah of a shomer who's kofer in the pikadon, or regular cases of chavolus where one person hits somebody else or whatever, those are common enough that are even a beis din of smuchim, we can say shlichus tayu avdina, that we are doing it to shlichus of the chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, of the chachamim who had smicha.
Well, okay. How about the time when they give the
masses smart there are. So you could say the same thing also. I mean, maybe it's also shlichus tayu avdina.
A guy who knew too much about a ketuba and said this woman's not a ketuba and he was a buffer. So
right. Ketuba, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be based in Bubba.
Yeah, that was Ramachman, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be also Basama as a shlichus of the chacham, or maybe even I don't even know. Maybe Makas Maudah doesn't require smuchim at all.
Right.
It is the Rabbanan. And we said Rashi said in the Mishnah that whenever the Rabbanan make a takana, it's kain d'oraisa, but maybe not to that extent. I don't know. Okay. It's interesting. The Rosh talks about in one of his Trovas that one of the Bati Dinim in Spain asked him about doing Dinin Nefashis, which they had they had been authorized by the king of that part of Spain to do Dinin Nefashis. And the Rosh is not very happy with the idea, but he says basically, you know, okay, since the government is basically putting it in your hands and requiring you to do it, fine, you know, you maybe don't have much of a choice, but yeah, okay.
And if they don't do it,
they could get in trouble with the.
For them.
Yeah. No, but you're also not obligated to get the whole kahila in trouble because you're going to disobey the king. You know? That's b'shat hashman. Because you're and you are allowed to. If under their laws he is chayiv misa, and maybe even under our laws he's chayiv misa, then yeah, you are allowed to.
Is it considered the Dinei Machusa in this case?
It's similar. It's not identical because Dinei Machusa only applies to Dinei Mamonis, basically, but still, yeah. Okay. Onward. Gemara asks. Okay. Elamei Asa, fine. By that logic, if you're going to tell me that we're Mekel and Dinei Mamonis, and therefore we're not requiring Mumchen and we're not requiring Dusha B'Hakira, Toh Lo Yishalmu. Then in that case, we should be Mekel in another way. We should say that, we should say rather, since these hedyotas, since these non-mumchim, are judging it with the reshus of the Rabbanon, then they should be considered the equivalent of mumchim, and even if they make a mistake in the halacha, they should not have to repay the person who they took money away from mistakenly. We'll learn later on in the fourth paragraph, we'll talk about that a mumche, in fact, is potter from repaying in a case like that. So why shouldn't we consider these hedyotas to be like mumchim then? The answer is kosher can shop the Noel Delos with Neloven. If you do that, all the more so it's gonna be Noel Delos with Neloven. Nobody's gonna want to bring a case to Beis Din because nobody's gonna want to lend money in the first place. Because they'll figure if Beis Din makes a mistake, then I have no recourse. It's better for the Malva and then better for that there should be halvois that you should keep them on the hook.
Later on, by the way, it actually gives us a somewhat different explanation of the Gemara's question, is if you're not requiring drusha v'chakira, why don't the hebyotas have the ability to say, well, if you, Chachamim, had allowed us to do drusha v'chakira, then we wouldn't have made a mistake. And the answer is fine, but we have to not allow drusha v'chakira, shalaitino delos v'sne loivin, and therefore the hebyotas are just going to have to keep on their toes without us. Okay, so far that's your Abohu's explanation of the Mishnah. Again, that dinin mominus in our Mishnah is explained by the word zelus v'chavolus. It's not an independent state. The problem is, ihochi tauti katoni. In that case, then, it sounds like the Mishnah is not giving it as an explanation. According to what we just said, it comes out the Mishnah is actually telling us two different dinin. Dinin mominus require shloisha, but they can be hebyotis. Zelus v'chavolus are also the shloisha, but they have to be mumchim. So here you're coming and telling us, Rabbi, that the word dinim mominus b'shloisha is not actually teaching us an independent din. It's just coming to tell us that hadoris v'alvoris are excluded. But based on what we just said, it comes out fakir. You are including them and saying they're a different din. For oid shloisha shloisha lamali. And also you have to ask in that case, if zelus v'chavolus is just meant to explain the word dinim mominus, why is the Mishnah repeating the word shloisha? It should just say dinim mominus zelus v'chavolus b'shloisha. So the Gemara, so we can't we slug up that explanation. Ella Omer Rava, Tarti Katani. Yes, you're right. Rava says the Mishnah is actually telling us two different states. Dine Mominus, namely Hadoris Valvois, require three Hadyotis, and then Gzelus Vachavolus require three Mumchim. Mishum de Rav Chanina, and that's based on what Rav Chanina said, that minatora you should need, that minatora you should tack and need mumchim for both them, but we're mako and we allow hedyotis for, and we allow hedyotis for dinim mominus, shalaitino delos with nilayim.
Is that the alternative?
Yeah. Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika Amar, Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika has a different opinion. Midaraisa chad nami kosher. Really, midaraisa should be kosher with only one dayan. When it comes to Hadoris Valvois. Because, Rashi says, because the Pasuk says Tishboit. So Tishboit is Lashon Yachid. Instead of Tishboit Amisacha.
Instead of
Tishbetu? Instead of Tishbetu, yeah. Actually the Gemara says Shenema, but Sedek Tishboit Amisacha. The Pasuk says you should judge, you, singular, should judge your fellow Yid with righteousness. So Midaraisa, you only need one. Elam is from Yoshvei Kronos. But the reason why we're requiring three, fine, they don't have to be, when it comes to Hadoris Valvois, they don't have to be Mumchim, but they still have to, you need three rather than one. The reason is because of Yoshvei Kronos. Yoshvei Kronos literally means people who sit up at street corners, but Rashi says doesn't just mean Batlonim who sit around with nothing to do. It means merchants. They know their way around business, but they don't know their way around the halacha so well. They may end up making a mistake. So if you have only one, then you have a very high chance there's going to be a wrong verdict. Okay, so the question is also the philosophy like have a Yoshua Kronos. Fine. And if you have three, how does that help? So you can have three Yoshua Kronos. Why is that any better? The answer is the should the less fool had to gonger. Fine. But impossible though that you shouldn't have among them at least one who does know the din. Or at least maybe he's not a career Talmud Chacham, but at least who learned enough from the Chachamim, enough of the dinim of Milva to be able to know his way around.
One way you can look at it is you can assume
that you get three yidden together, inevitably you're going to have one who knows his way around the genie a little bit. But one of the Rishonim says that actually the verdict is rather like this. We're talking about the Dayonim picking, we're talking about the Bala Din picking Dayonim for themselves, sort of like Zebor Loyachad, the Zebor Loyachad, which we'll learn later on in the third paragraph. If they pick one of the Yoshvei Kronos, they may end up picking the one particular Yoshvei Kronos in that area who doesn't know any of the halach. Two, the same thing. Three, there's not that much chance that three times they're going to make the mistake of picking somebody who doesn't know any halach.
Well, those two don't know any halach, they're going to look at each other and think, who do we know that knows something?
Yeah, that may be also, but the point is, at least if they're looking around, the pastors, the Bali Dinim themselves, are looking around for somebody who knows halach, by the time you're getting to three people, inevitably one of the three people, they're not going to make the mistake three times of asking somebody who turns out, who they think is a Talmud Chacham and turns out to be an Amar.
Also,
what?
Well, that's in a case of a Zabla basin. That's Zeba or Leapa. But I'm saying you don't necessarily need that. You could have that. That's one way of empaneling a basin. But the other way is that the two Baladin in themselves agree on all three Dayanim. That's a valid way of doing it also. They can be Makabal themselves again. They can be Makabal Shlosha Roye Bakar if they want. But the point is, we assume that they themselves are looking for Dayanim who are going to know something of the Halacha, even if they're Yoshe Kronis, even if they're not career Talmud Chachamim. One person they ask, they think he's a Talmud Chacham, it may turn out he's an Amoret. Two, the same thing. Three, it's not likely they're going to misjudge three people, and then turns out none of them knows anything. No, because the one who knows the Halacha will explain to the other one.
Yeah.
We'll explain what the genius is supposed to be in this case. That's what Rashi is saying. I mean, Tagarin, it means Moshe. Yeah. When we say in the Hadron, Shasamta Chelkim Yosher Ves Medesh, Shasamta Chelkim Yosher Kronos, that's what it means. That we're not just merchants who sit around buying and selling. That we sit and learn Torah.
Also, when you have three people, and they convince each other, they call and they realize.
Not necessarily. I mean, Tagrim, a lot of times, they're going to be Oisik and Devorim Salem because they got to fill up the time. But yeah.
What about Dagor?
Okay. Fine. Again, the question is, Elamei Asa Tohu Lo Yishalmu. Again, the question is, according to this explanation also, of Rav Acha Brei de Rav Yekta, if you're saying that Min HaTorah all you need is one, and the only reason we need three is because of the problem, is because of the problem that you're going to pick Yosef Kronis, Tohu Lo Yishalmu. You can ask the same question as before. Since they're doing it Birushus, and even Midaraisa, one of them would be enough. Why don't we say that they're considered mumchim for this purpose, and if they make a mistake in the din, they shouldn't have to repay? And again, the answer is, kol shekin d'nifishi yosh v'kronos. The answer is, similarly, that then, for sure, you're going to have a bunch of yosh v'kronos who are going to sit in dinei Torah. They're not going to bother to learn because they have no skin in the game. They're immune. So therefore, like this, it's an incentive to the yosh v'kronos themselves, knowing that their fellow tagrim, their fellow yosh v'kronos, are occasionally going to ask them to judge dinei Torah. It'll motivate them to learn something, and that way there's less of a chance they'll make a mistake and be on the hook that way. What?
They could decline it.
Right. They could, but okay, you know, eventually.
But when someone asks you, you start getting a little bit of ego. Oh,
yeah, maybe that too. Question is, my Ikka ben Rava or Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ikka? Fine. The bottom line is, both Rava and Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ikka are saying that you need three for Hadois Balvois, and they don't have to be Mumchim. And that if they make a mistake, you do have to, they do have to pay it back. So what's the nafkamina between them? The answer is, Ikka benayo de Amos Shmuel. The nafkamina between them would be this din that Shmuel said that we just talked about. Shnayim shadonu dinayim din, where we say that if two people judge dinim mamonis, it is a valid din. Elosh nikru based in chasuk, but they're a chutzpedik based in chutzpedik in the sense. Rashi says sh'avru al takana chachamim. They're over on what the chachamim made a takana that you need three. So the Rava left play to Shmuel. So Rava disagrees with what Shmuel was saying, because according to Rava, you need three midaraisa. It's not just according to Rava, it's that you need three midaraisa, and the only reason why you don't need mumchim is because we're makel based on what Rav Chanina said. So therefore, two judge, it's not a question of based in chassid. It's not a din, because you don't have the three. The Torah says you need. Whereas Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ikka agrees with what Shmuel says, and therefore, fine, in that case, then midoraisa, all you should need is one. The Chachamim made a tekana, you need three because of Yosef Kronos. But if you had two, it's a based in Chosuk, but it's still denamed it. As long as there was one of them who actually knew the din. Tosfos actually points out over here that if you have somebody who doesn't know the dinim at all, he would be possible to sit on a base din at all. So that's the thing. We said what it meant before was we said that you have to have three because inevitably at least one of them will be somebody who knows, meaning if we know that the other one, Taka, don't know, then we will pass all them and that's that. The point is we may not know until they're sitting and paneled there on the base. If you know to begin with that somebody is an Amma artist, you can't put them on a base.
Right.
We'll learn about that later on, in the third paragraph. What over here the point is that you may seat them on the Beis Din, and now the Mishnah mentions over there and the Gemara discusses that afterwards, if one of the Balei Din realizes that one of the Dayanim is an Amoret, he can taka be postal him and remove him from the front. But let's say they don't realize, that's the point. So therefore, if you have three, inevitably. They don't sit there and test them, but later on, at some point, I don't know, they find out from somebody who, or whatever, however they find out that this guy actually doesn't know the halacha. Yeah, maybe they catch him. Yeah, whatever.
They
should have caught him before, but it can happen they didn't. So Zeb postal Dayonish or Zeb. We'll learn in the third paragraph in the case of a Zabla based in, let's say, where I'm saying I'm picking this Dayan and you're saying you're picking that Dayan, and then two Dayanim together pick a third Dayan, I can say this person who you want as a Dayan is actually an Amoret, and he's possible to sit on a base. And if it turns out that stack is so, then yes, he has to be removed. But the point is that we may not know. We may not realize in advance that they're...
Unless they test him before.
Unless they test him before, but they're not necessarily going to. Yeah. Okay.